Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everyone, for your warmth and your love. I love this church. This is a great church. And I'd just like to welcome Rob Porter here, come to be with us today. We love you, Rob. It means a lot that you're here, Rob. We love you so much. Thanks for coming. Thanks, everyone, for coming today. And thanks, Kim and the team, for that worship. Wasn't that so good? Kim? That was wonderful worship. We love you, Kim. Hallelujah. It was great. I'm just feeling all good up here today. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, sometimes you've got to preach. I find, you know, there's always a little bit of nerves, if you can put it that way. You sort of feel like, oh, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about this over this week, and I tell you what, by about 2 days ago, I was starting to feel so excited. I thought, God, this is so good, and this is so good, and God's going to do such good things with this place and with this church that I just could not, I thought, look, let's go there tonight, let's do it now. You know, I just felt, I thought, like, let's push out from the shore. Let's push this ship out. Hallelujah. God does everything on purpose, doesn't he? There's a purpose in everything he does. And about 40 years ago, he had a purpose. And about, I think it's 1970, I'll have to ask Gwen, was it 75 or 76, Gwen? 73 was the house, but 73 was the house. Wow. See, it's even more than I thought. God did a purpose then. In 1973, there was a couple retiring. In their retiring years, they got refired with a passion to serve the purposes of God in their generation. And they took one radical step. Not only did they open up their hearts to the move of God, but they opened up their home. They wanted a home for God. They wanted to open up wide their doors and let God use them to see lives touched. And that home was an Acts 2 home. And I often think of that verse in Acts 2. It says, they devoted themselves to the word of God, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I think it was 3 years. They never had a night off. Every night, they devoted themselves to getting around, simply around the word of God, simply around fellowship, and simply around prayer. That's church, isn't it? That's church. That's where the power comes from. That's where the energy comes from. That's where the presence comes from. And that is our roots. That is our roots. And they were the right people in the right place at the right time. And God did something. God did something special. And with vision and purpose in their heart in 1978, in about September, there was a band of young people that had joined with them on a journey with God. And they came down here and found a block of land and pooled their resources. Just a few young people, you know, no dollars, no cents, they used to say, you know. But they had a vision from God in their heart, and they bought a block of land and just transferred what God was doing in that house down here. Yeah, it was a house there. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Deb. You know, some of those people are still with us. I'd like Gwen to stand up and Sarah. I'd like them to stand up. And who else was here in 78? Deb, I think Deb had just arrived. Who else was here? There was a few. There's a few away. Stewie's up repairing his house. But we honour them today. We honour them. I want you to give them a big clap, especially Sarah and Stuart and Gwen, and thank them. For they, you know, our roots go deep here, and out of their vision and their collective sacrifice and their commitment, their prayer, their service to God, over many years, we find ourselves today blessed with so much. We do. We do. And I'm aware standing here of that verse, to whom much is given, much is expected. And we approach where we're going with great respect for what God has done. Our roots go deep. You know, God will hold us to account, all the new team, for what we do with what's been entrusted to us. It's been passed to us, and we will pass it on. It will happen. We rejoice over all that God has done, but he's not fulfilled everything that he's purposed in his heart when he planted this church. And Jesus is looking for fruit. He's looking for more than just us turning up. He's looking for fruit. We're going to build on our strong foundations. We're going to draw from our strong roots. But today, we want to refresh that vision that happened 45 years ago. That just was an Acts 2 church that opened their doors wide to a move of God. 12 months ago, we transitioned to a new leadership team. And I would love them to stand up. Deb obviously is with me. I'm not going anywhere without Deb. I used to say for years, Deb, because we've lived in nearly every home on these properties, and we've had a lot of people live in our home, and I used to say, Deb, they can put us anywhere as long as you're still here, you know? So I'm not going any... It's a bit like the Lord. I'm not going anywhere except his presence goes with me. But I'm not going anywhere at the moment without Deb because she keeps me from making mistakes. Stand up, Deb, and stand up Shane and Carol and Felicity. And I think you should stand with Felicity, Kim. Stand up, Kim, because Kim's behind Felicity and Ben and Rach. Please stand up. I want you to give this team a really big clap. So, you know, God bless them. Might not look like much through the year, but we've been doing stuff and we've been working hard and working behind the scenes. And I tell you, my best ideas come from these people. My best ideas. None of us are as good as all of us. And that goes for the whole church. None of us are as good as what we can do together. We're a team. There's gifts and talents resident in each one of them and resident in each one of you that God wants to unlock. He wants to activate. And he has a purpose and a plan, and it's something we're going to do together. David and Greta Peters were here a few weeks ago. We were blessed with them. They were here last year around this time. They met with us as a team, and they had a word for us that we were on uncharted waters. And really stuck with me that, you know, we're a bit like we took over the helm of a boat, you know, of a ship. And we've sort of... last 12 months, a bit like track, we're sort of pushed off from the shore and tracking out in the harbour a bit, you know? We're sort of heading out. You know, ships are safe in a harbour, but that's not what they were built for, was it? They're not built for that. They're built for the open seas. They're built for a purpose. And I believe I'm a fairly safe pair of hands, you know? That's one thing I sort of would have thought, you know, conservative... safe, you know, look after the finances, all that in the past. And I think the team's a good safe pair of hands, you know. But I tell you, we don't want to play it safe. I remember Gwen coming to me a number of months before the transition, and she had a word for me about Peter getting out of the boat and about faith. And it's what God was saying to me. And it's one thing we want to be. We want to be a safe pair of hands, but we don't want to play it safe. We want to play at faith. We want to be a people of faith. And we're challenging one another to be people of faith. Felicity had a challenge a number of months ago. I think my faith was sort of heading a little bit. She had a really good challenge in our night one night. Thanks, Fliss. And she probably doesn't even remember it. But she said, come on, we got to back ourselves. You know, praise the Lord, we're a team. You know, we got to get going. So... you know, as we head out of the harbour into the open seas, the most important thing, I believe, is the direction that we point the ship. That is the most important thing. My sense, and you talk to lots of people around the body of Christ and around our land, people seeking God. You know, there's another groundswell of people praying and seeking God. You know, there's a sense... that there's something fresh and significant about to happen in our country around here. You know, you could almost, you know, when you start to smell rain in the distance when there's a storm coming, you know, I think there's a smell, there's a sense of a smell of rain. I think God is poised and wanting to do something great. And there's an expectation of a harvest that's coming. I feel the Holy Spirit all year is drawing us. He's inviting us. He's calling us. He's assuring us it's going to happen. He's putting faith in our heart. It's going to happen. The question is, will we position ourselves for what he wants to do? Because he will use whoever. Whoever is going to put up their hand and say, yes, Lord, send me. I do not want to not be positioned for what God is going to do. I don't want to be like, I'm often challenged in 2 Kings, the story of the servant of the king who stood at the gate, and the prophecy to him was, you'll see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat of it. I do not want to see it happen all around me and us not eat of it as a church. I want us to partake of everything God has that he wants to do. The wind's blowing, but we've got to set our sail in the right direction to catch the wind. So over the year, especially the second half of this year, this wonderful team has been seeking the Lord in prayer for a fresh vision. And we devoted some significant time and prayer to craft our core fixed values, which I'd like to spend a little bit of time to share with you. These statements are not my statements. These are the statements of this team that they've sought God about. We've thrashed them out. And even beyond this team, I trust that these statements tap into the values that are at the root of this church about the things that we feel are core to us and important. Now, if Michael would put the first one up, we call this a statement around mission. Perhaps if we could close the curtain so we can all see it well. The blinds, I should say. This says, we exist to make Jesus known to our world. I tell you, that burns in us, doesn't it? Doesn't that burn in you? We exist to make Jesus known to our world through the power of the gospel, and therefore will not allow passivity, unbelief, religion, or any other barrier to hinder us in this pursuit. Firstly, I'd like to say this ship is not about us. It does not exist for the comfort of those on board. We are not a cruise ship. You might like cruises, but this ship is not a cruise ship. We are a lifeboat, and every hand needs to be on deck. When we make decisions, when we make choices, when things come up and we have to say, what are we doing here? Should we do this? Should we do that? When we talk about things, this mission is our filter. This takes first place. We're not a cruise ship. We're on mission. We exist to make Jesus known to our world, and we're called to proclaim the gospel. We've been talking about it all year, I know, but we've been leaking it out. We can't help as we think about it. What resources we have, what God has entrusted to us, it's for this purpose. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was Jesus's priority. His last commandment has to be our first priority. God so loved the world, he invested everything he had. He invested his son to rescue a lost world. We're called to love lost people. We will not deviate from this. We've put it in writing, we've written it down, because we're going to hold ourselves accountable to it. We exist for this purpose. The direction of this ship is pointing to head out to sea, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's Jesus' heart. If we want him to be the wind in our sails, if we want him to be with us, if we want to keep enjoying that presence that we enjoyed when Kim and the team worshipped with us, we need to keep pointing in the right direction. This team is committed to holding one another accountable to this. We're going to stay in love with the gospel. We're going to stay on mission. And we've even included a few specific obstacles that the ship might face that we said we're not going to allow them to get in our way. Passivity, unbelief, religion, or any other barrier to this ship pointing in that way will stop us from that. There could be more. There could be comfort. Maybe comfort would stop us. Maybe shyness. Maybe insecurity. Whatever it is, we are heading this ship in this direction. The next one we've titled Supernatural. This goes deep into our roots. We are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit and therefore hunger. We heard Gary speak a word on that during the year, hunger, for a life that is intimate with God and contends for the miraculous. When the early church was birthed, it was empowered. And recently, we've just been doing a series from Acts 1:8. The disciples were told to wait till they were endued with power from above. We are a Pentecostal church. We are unashamed of that. We are a Pentecostal church. We're birthed in revival. At the beginning of the roots of this church was 3 years of constant nightly gathering to pray and to seek God. And one of my favourite verses is that one we all know, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What he's calling us to do is an impossible task, and we need the empowering of his spirit. You know, it's not going to be our gifts, certainly not going to be our brilliance or mine. It's not going to be our charisma, because I'm not the charismatic guy. It's not going to be our strategies or money or the fact that we're blessed with all we have here. It's going to be by his spirit that we are going to accomplish the job. You know, I'd never planned this, but 35 years ago to this day, I walked down into this place for the first time and looked like, I think Gwen first saw me the next day, shell and prawns, looking like an old prawn myself. And I was a needy young guy, been on drugs, and I was lost. And I was full of needs that probably I wasn't even aware of the depth of bondage and what was in my life. And the power of God fell in this place on me 35 years ago. And the presence of God was what attracted me to here. And it's the same presence I felt when we worship today. It's the presence of Jesus. And he's the one that delivered me. He's the one that transformed me. And we are going nowhere without the presence and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Except your presence goes with us, we're not going anywhere. I don't think anyone's coming with me if that's not happening. You know, no one's coming. What began in the Spirit is not going forward under our own steam. It's coming from him. We are going to remain a people who are committed to seeking God, dependent on his empowering presence. The first thing we're going to do on the 1st of January is start 21 days of prayer, and can I encourage you, fasting. I tell you, I've found so many things happen during this year when I simply dedicate time to pray and to fast. I tell you, even this week, there was days where suddenly I thought, where did that come from? That answer just arrived. That situation just resolved. And I tell you, we need to be a people that, first of all, are dependent on him and in prayer and fasting. First, we're going to do a series in the new year, First Things First. That's our heart. We're going to get Gary Levins back, and he's going to give us a round. Gwen's going to stir us up as well. We're looking forward to it, Gwen. That's Gwen's heart. And we are a people that will always hunger for more. And we're going to be bold enough to ask God for more. Where people, it says there, got another, you know, everything, that they wanted a bit of bite in all these things, you know, when we wrote them. Got to have a bit of bite in it, you know. And here it is, we're not just intimate with God and enjoy the presence, but there's got to be purpose to it. We're going to contend for the miraculous. Who's up for that? Yeah, I saw Kim's hand shoot up. We're contending for the miraculous. We're a people of faith who will boldly ask, where is the God of Elijah? You know, it's not good enough that we hear about it. We want to see it. We want to experience it, the miraculous in every way. people's lives being transformed and changed. The next one, community. We're a people who, by God's grace, love, support and encourage one another and create a place where all who come can find a sense of belonging. God is a community in himself. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God with me, God with us. Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Our distinctive, the people of God have a distinctive that they love one another, that they're a community of people who support, encourage, love one another and create a place where all who come find a sense of belonging. You know, it's not we have the great commission, but we've got a great commandment as well. And that's what we're called to. The love of God is so attractive, I believe. As we reach more people, these people are looking for a home, a place to belong. We need gatherings. The early church gathered in the temple like we are today. We gather on the weekend, but they also gathered and said they went breaking bread from house to house. There were small groups, and we're going to encourage people to gather and to get together and encourage, support and love one another. And the power to do this is simply, we so know it, is the grace of God. We do not have it in our own strength. We love because he first loved us. In a broken world, everyone matters. People are hurting and they need to experience the love of God in a tangible way with skin on. And we want to be those kind of people. And I don't know about you, I can walk around and meet with people and I can think it is just maybe that, you know, it's just not in me at times, but by the grace of God, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I pursue him, the more I find he puts love in our hearts for people. You can't do church and not love people. We're committed to putting out the welcome mat. I looked at the mat out there this morning and it was sort of somehow, I think I was cleaning the place, it got pushed out away from the door, you know. I thought, let's get the welcome mat freshened up. Let's get it looking good. Let's make this a place that's a home for others to come. Let's make it a place where Jesus is happy to call it home and he's welcome to invite all his friends here, you know. We might have to remember that because God, Jesus has a big heart. Serving was the next one. I'll just keep punching through these. Serving. We are convinced it is essential to intentionally make it our business, that is. Do it with thought, with motivation. Intentionally demonstrate God's love for all people through intentional acts of mercy and compassion. We read in the book of James, it's no good just to tell people, be blessed, God loves you, and we do nothing tangible for them. Jesus was incredibly practical. And he preached a parable once and he says, what you did for the least, you did for me. That's our heart as well. Mercy and compassion are not optional extras that another church will do or someone will do. We want to be intentional as well. We want to demonstrate God's love. Just don't want to talk about it. We want acts of mercy and compassion. We're already impacting a community in our town, and there will be more. There will be others. We're going to go wider and we're going to go deeper, but we're committing to it. The next one is authentic. We are people who, in response to his radical grace, we keep coming up with this grace thing, eh? You know, this grace is so central to God and his relationship with us. We are a people who, in response to his radical grace, are not ashamed to pursue authentic lives that honour the Word of God and influence our world. The Word of God for us is more than a book to be studied. We preached this a few months ago on Joshua 1:8, where we meditate on the Word of God day and night. We keep speaking the Word of God, but it says so that we may be careful to do it. We want to be authentic people that not just talk about it, we want our talk to match our walk. And by grace, we're going to do it. Not our righteousness, not something that is anything special about us, but by his grace, he's going to enable us to be authentic people, that the best we can, the best we can by his strength, we want to live lives where we're salt and light in our world. And the last one we've got is empowering. We're investing ourselves and the resources we have that God's entrusted with us to equip, develop and empower others to reach their God-given potential. God has put enormous potential in every one of you and in everyone that God will add to us. And we want to equip that, we want to develop that, we want to empower that, and we put it in writing because that's our commitment. We are going to work towards this. We believe God has a purpose and a plan for all generations, and we embrace every generation, and we will equip and empower everybody, including the young. You know, when I was doing all this the last few days, I said to Ben this morning, I wish I was 30. You know, more years to fulfill the potential that he would have in us. So don't put it up yet, Michael, but we've got a vision statement. Our vision for our church is rooted in these values. It's rooted in our obedience to the Great Commission. And it's something that's beyond our ability, because our confidence is not in us. It's in the power of the gospel. It's our confidence is in the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us as we commit to the purpose that he has for us and we point the ship. To fulfill this vision, we need everybody empowered, mobilized, every gift and talent activated. We've been preaching it all year. We've been leaking it out here and there. We can't help ourselves. But we believe it's important that we articulate it, that we put words around it, we craft something. The direction that we want to point this ship in one clear direction, and we stay our course and we do not slip into the mentality of being a cruise ship. Why this church exists, what we're here for, what we believe we're called to Caboolture for, is to transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. That's our vision. Simple as that. It's not in our strength, it's through his power. God's vision for us, transforming our community, Caboolture, and sits around through, not through something special we have, but being a place where Jesus hangs out. He's in us and he's amongst us. And through his love and power, we impact, change and transform our town. This is what God's put in our hearts. This is what we're pursuing. God's with us. God will back us. And he'll commit ourselves, because I do believe we're pointing in the direction he wants. A gathering of people committed to this purpose, I believe, will find themselves running. I really believe that. You know, Jesus is more keen and more up to do this than we would ever believe. I think it's just he is committed to it. If we will set ourselves in a line with his purposes, we'll find ourselves that the building will be stretched to its limits and will be stretched to manage its growth. New people will regularly come to church, and salvations will be a common occurrence, because he will be in this house. There'll be thriving small groups gathering around him, growing in their relationship with Jesus, becoming better followers simply of him. We're just following him. It'll be a place where the manifest presence of Jesus is here, and miracles will happen. Because when the Lord was present, power was present. And we believe it will happen. I just declare it, miracles will happen in this house, miracles will happen. We will see a church so generous that it reaches over its walls to bless its town and the nations. We've blessed nations and we've blessed our town in the past, but we want to go wider, deeper and further. We want to do more. A church pushed out of its comfort zone, pushed to authentically love its town in both word and deed. Now, we then had to think of some goals. You know, one thing I know is we're going to grow. We are not going to keep hitting the same ceiling. If we will focus on the vision and if everybody will mobilise and be involved and if this team will keep ourselves accountable to what we've written and we will do it, we're believing that next year, 2017, we're going to grow by 20% across the board. Now, that I've started to think about that more, and I thought, we are so conservative, you know. But let's just believe with us. Just believe if we will point this ship in the right direction and we will energize ourselves with the power of God, if we will really seek Him and we'll commit to it, we can see 20% more people here on weekends. What does it mean? We're going to be preaching our vision. We're going to stay on mission. The gospel is going to be preached in our services. We're going to keep ourselves to account. You know, they'll be saying to me, Jed, you didn't have a gospel appeal. We're going to develop our preachers, develop our worship team. Our culture is going to be preaching the gospel, proclaiming it. Our culture is going to be, we invite people to church because that's just what we do. We just do it. It just becomes part of us. We're going to spruce up the welcome mat. We're going to work on our welcome. We're pretty good at it, but we're going to be so known for hospitality, so known for being such great hosts. We're going to improve our services. They're going to get inspiring. It's going to be presence and it's going to be power. We're committed to this. We are looking to Him. We're seeking Him. We expect to see more evangelists here. During this year, we had Jossie Charco here. We were really blessed with Jossie. I was so blessed. I was on the phone to him this week. I said, Jossie, when are you coming back? He's coming to do some things with the Full Gospel Churches. We're going to leverage off that. We're getting him here. He's going to stir us. We're going to continue. I've rung Stephen, who's on another church on the south side. We're going to get people with that evangelistic heart more and more. I rang Lorraine Dick. We've partnered with her for 30 more years. She's coming in February. She's going to come and spend a weekend with us. We're going to celebrate her and her missionary efforts. And we're going to spend some time with Lorraine. We're going to keep preaching the gospel. We want to see 20% increase in people serving. We need workers for the harvest. Come and see us. If you don't come and see us, we might come and see you and tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, you are gifted. You've really got something. We want you to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God where He wants you to be involved. Just think about it. Go to Him in prayer. Say, Lord, I've got something I can do. I want to be involved. I want to play a part. This is not a cruise ship. This is a lifeboat, and we need all hands on deck. We've got things going. We've got mercy things happening. We've got Kids Connect. We've got hosts. We've got youth. We've got Connect group. We've got men's groups starting soon. Some men's dinners have been going. We've got a worship team. We're going to have new believers groups. Amen. Amen. We're going to have new believers groups. Let's get mobilized. Let us know. Come and see us. We're believing more people to serve. We're going to believe that our small groups are going to grow. Church is more than Sunday. We want a sense of community where people belong. We want more groups. We want more leaders who can gather and build. And may I encourage you, we're going to believe for 20% increase in our giving. Not because We've never been a church that pressures for that. But I tell you, we don't want to deny anybody the opportunity to participate in the blessing of God, to participate in giving. And I believe if we've got the right vision, people want to give to vision. People want to invest their time, their talent, and their treasure if we're doing the right thing. As we got through all these, we then came to a place a few months ago. We thought, yeah, we could do with a new name. We could do with a new name. Now, this was not an easy exercise, was it, guys? It wasn't an easy exercise. In fact, many pastors, when you sort of start ringing around for a bit of advice, many pastors say, oh, you know, they all sort of warn you of the perils. And then you start to look, and lots of churches, they grab some great names. You know what they do then? They trademark them. You know, Debbie was up one night, she got a thought about something, got all inspired, went to look it up. Someone else had grabbed it, you know. We had a bit of that going on. We even got one we all felt really good about, a church that I knew somewhere in the country had the same name. I even knew the people, got in touch with them. No, you can't have it. Can't have it. It's ours, you know. So anyway, that happens. I understand that. I'm not at all concerned. But I must say, there was one word, I guess... This was, the team was very gracious to me. They let me have a little bit of room. I wanted a biblical word. I wanted an enduring word. I wanted a word that meant as much for the people outside of here as it would mean for us. I wanted this word that every person is looking for, and what Jesus offers to all humanity. And that word was for me was hope. Now then you've got to kind of turn it into something, and everybody's grabbed that good word, you know. Now I know. But anyway, our new name from today is Hope Point. You like it? I like it. Give me a cheer. It's got a little tag there for those outside. Hope Point, home for you. Anyway, it'll grow on you. I've had a few months to let it grow on me. And you like it? Thanks, Howard. Thanks, Howard. Thanks, guys. And there's a sign outside. We were sneaking the sign up last night. Well, not last night, during the day, in the afternoon. A few people drove past and got a glimpse, I think, but... Ben said, oh, we need some sheets to hide it all. And I said, have you got some? He said, oh, no, if I take... Rachel kill us if I wrap up some good sheets around there. And I had these sheets at home that Deb bought a while ago that I couldn't stand. I thought, I know just what I've got. So I went and grabbed them and I wrapped it up. And I thought, that'll be the last I'll see of those sheets. So there we go. Anyway, then we did a website. I'll give you a glimpse. Throw it up. Throw up something. Hope Point. You can look at it anytime you like now. It's hopepoint.church. Samson came on the right day. I don't know if you noticed, about a month ago, we had a girl that's done lots of weddings here. And She came along and just spent the day taking pictures. So we've got lots of our children, and the children that are involved in our play coming. Anyway, the old URL, caboolturchurch.com, we've kept, and it'll, after some time today, it will also redirect you to this site, but the address is hopepoint.church. So just put it in any time on your phone and have a look. I'll let you have a look at it. You like it? Look at all, there's some more handsomer people and better looking ones below there. Look at that crowd, eh? That's our team. So just, we're all part of this. It's, you know, it's so good. Anyway, the next thing we thought, well, we don't need a new house. We're so blessed with the buildings. But, you know, every home at times needs a bit of a reno, doesn't it? You think it needs a little bit of a reno, a few things. We thought about this stage here. We thought it'd be good if we got out of our cave. You know, what do you reckon? Can we do something with the shade? We had a prayer meeting a few weeks ago. A few of us were here praying, really going in tongues, you know, and worshipping. And the engineer's coming in and he's hanging out behind the curtains, the local guy from in town while we were having our prayer meeting. He's taking measurements and that. So we're already looking at that. Going to get out of the cave. I think we could do something with the wall. Do you think, is anybody up for that? Anybody up for that? You know, they say if the barn needs painting, paint it. Don't make it black. All right, we'll just keep on. I wonder if I'll be looking outside and I'll keep looking. Toilet block out the door, you know. We don't use it. And I think we've got more toilets here than Central Station. And I think we could do something with that little space there, we thought. Even our traffic flow here is a bit we've got that many doors, people coming in and out, we'll need that many hosts, we'll get difficult. I even wondered about the brick wall there, you know? Is it the best thing? As a welcome, that you walk in the door to a home for you and it's a brick wall, I'm just not sure. Just not sure about that. Well, you know, yeah, we've got to think about these things. Anyway, we're going to consider some new records. Anyway, Ben found this program on the internet, being the engineer he is, and played around with a few things and some concepts. You know, anyway. Just put something together, scratched it up. It's not too bad. Might just give you a little idea. So we're going to roll this and just let the big picture and the concept just get into your heart. Let it go, Michael, and we'll just have a look. See what you think.